I'm going to read, let me start back, and I'm going to flow from, I'm going to read verse 12 through 18, that's what we're covering, and then tonight we're going to hunker down in verse 16, talking about the shield of faith, okay? Again, familiar passage, and we've just been working it verse by verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And we talked about each and every one of those in previous weeks. Therefore, he says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, 14 says, stand therefore. And he begins to dress the Christian for spiritual warfare. It says, having girded your waist with truth. We've talked about that. That having your being girded with truth means living truthfully. Means not being hypocritical. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we talked about that, how that is stitched daily in the lives of the Christian. We talked about how a breastplate suited for a soldier going into armor, going into battle, as depicted on your handout there, everybody's breastplate is custom made. David could not wear Saul's breastplate. It wasn't made for him. David said, I can't fight in this. It's not made for me. And if you understand that, so here, when Paul says, put this breastplate of righteousness, when we talked about it that Friday night, we talked about how that is stitched daily in the life of the believer such that it is custom made for you. That breastplate of righteousness. And we exhausted that, and we're not going to cover old ground, but that was the key thought out of that night that we brought forward. Then last week we were talking about having shod your feet with the perspiration of the gospel of peace, and we exhausted that on last Friday night talking about how before we came to Christ we were enemies of God, that we were enemies of God. And most people don't think of that, especially believers. We always love to talk about we're friends of God. And I would question that a little bit too, but we went through scripture after scripture proving what? We're enemies of God. God is out to destroy us. Until what? Until he sees the blood of his son applied to our heart and life. And so we talked about it. And so the good news of the gospel is not only that we're saved from our sins, the good news of the gospel is that we are what? Now at peace with God. You know what I mean? I don't have to fight with God. You know what I mean? Because of the blood of his son. And so we have all of that. And so now we're down here and it says 16, above all, bring up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. After that, he said, put on the helmet of salvation and then pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is, in fact, the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. So here we go. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. This shield of faith refers to the large shield that protected the entire body. There was another image that I wanted to get, but I couldn't get it to fit on the page. And you see how this shield is almost the same size as their complete midsection, from the shoulder down to his knees. There were some in the Roman army, some of the infantrymen had shields that would go from their chin to the ground. They were full body shields. And when they went into any of their particular maneuvers or defensive postures, or sometimes those infantrymen would be up front and they would all dig their shield in the ground, and their shield would perform a protective wall for the whole army. You follow what I'm saying? Maybe you've even seen some of the movies like that. But they would put those down, and some of the other men would put their shields over the top if they were being attacked by arrows from the enemy who may have had the high ground and was shooting down on them, or arrows coming from behind the other arm. They would use these shields for protection. You follow what I'm saying? And so I'm just pointing that out because if you've been any spending time, you guys know, Paul uses specific language. And he's just not, let's just talk about army men just to be, you know, he's after something. And if you can get the imagery of what he's saying, it brings you closer to what he's really trying to convey to you in the spirit. That with your faith can provide protection for your whole body. You following? So he says, hey, you need to pick up the shield of faith, which will be able to quench those darts. Because the darts of the enemy are coming from where? They're coming from every direction. You know, and you're going to need a shield. There's not enough to duck. Some of the stuff's going to come in low. Some of the stuff's going to come in the side, the back. And so you need the shield of faith. And so that's what he's going for here. Pick up the shield, which is able to protect the entire body. The faith to which Paul is referring here is basic trust in God. The believer's continual trust in God's word and his promise is, above all, absolutely necessary to protect him from temptations to every sort of sin. So, all right, he's telling us something. The fiery darts. He says, temptation. So, the darts that the enemy shoots at us, when you boil it all down, is nothing more than temptation. That's all he shoots at us. He has no real weapons to injure us. You find that's the first thing. Most believers never do. They're afraid of the devil. They literally believe that the devil can hurt us. There's like a real fear, like he could actually punch us or kick us or do something that could hit. He really can't. The only thing that he can do is tempt us and get us to believe a lie so that we will step out from behind the shield and now what? Injure ourselves. Right? You got to always remember, he never punched Eve in the face. He never kicked her. All he did was tempt her, right? It's not bad to eat. Who said it was a bad fruit? You know what I mean? And by so doing, he got her to step out from behind her faith in God's promise, eat every fruit of it except this one. You follow what I'm saying? So these are what the darts of the enemy are. And a lot of people go, oh, the enemy's attacking me. No, he's not. What the enemy does, and he will always do, is tempt you to sin. The Bible says every man, when he is drawn away by what? His own, you know what that own lust means? Your own temptation. Everybody here has a thing or things. We all got them. And here's the downside. It wouldn't be so bad that we all had them, but not only do we all have them, the enemy knows what they are. He knows yours, his, yours. He knows mine. Anybody know why he knows them? We talked about this one of those Friday nights. Because he spends a lifetime doing what? Studying us. He's watching us. Watching us during our childhood and our teen years. Watch what happens. He begins to understand what our own lust is. Our own those things that we are susceptible to. Susceptible meaning we're willing to go after in lieu of the promises of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so those are what the fiery darts are. You know what I mean? Nothing is going to take you out. But if you just stay what? Behind the shield. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you just keep the helmet on, do you follow what I'm saying? If the shield is like this and it don't go all the way down to your feet, just have your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel. You know what I mean? You can make it. You follow what I'm saying? We're not vulnerable to the enemy. We're not left up to whatever he decides to do or not to do with us. That's why Paul said you got to put on the whole armor of God. All sin comes when the victim falls to Satan's lies and his promises of pleasure, rejecting the better choice of obedience and blessing. The Bible says it simply, obedience is better than any sacrifice you can offer God. God, I disobeyed, but I'm going to build you a great big church. It would have been better to leave the church alone. Just obey God. You know, Samuel said obedience is better. Any sacrifice you can offer God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And that's what he's giving us. He's saying, you put this stuff on, you'll be able to obey the word of God and therefore avoid the fiery darts of the enemy. Here, we're going to work out of this. Because I'm late and I miss prayer. Go to 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. The shield of faith is what we have to work against the darts of the enemy. You guys have that? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And it's what? Our faith. He who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Here it is. We're talking about this overcoming. What overcomes the world? The faith. The shield of faith. That's how we overcome the world. That's how we make it. By simple belief in what God said in his word. That's all it is. John defines these overcomers. They are all who believe in Jesus and that he is God's son. And all that is encompassed in that. The overcomers are believers. And the word for overcomers comes from the Greek word meaning to conquer, to have victory, to have superiority, or conquering power. The word reflects a genuine superiority that leads to overwhelming success. This is what I want you to get. The victory is demonstrable. It involves overthrowing an enemy so that the victory is seen by all. Jesus also used this word to describe of himself. The victory is demonstrable. It involves overthrowing an enemy so that victory is seen by all. He is out to put your life and my life on public display. Todd, you got this iPad. It's in Colossians, where he defeats the enemy by putting him on public display. Is it Colossians 2 or Colossians 3? Find that. You got that iPad thing. He made a public spectacle of the enemy, meaning Christ did not defeat him privately. He didn't call the enemy into a private room, just him and the enemy, and just say, hey, cut it out, it's over. All right, you're done. You know, he put it on public display, and the public spectacle is when he went on the cross. Do you follow what I'm saying? And he made what looked like a victory for the enemy was in reality a victory for Christ Jesus. right? He made a public spectacle. He put his victory and the enemy's defeat on public display. You guys find that? What is 2:15? Let me see. Having disarmed principalities. Here, that's it. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them in it. And so what I'm trying to say, this is what I love about God. He's going to make a public display of the enemy. But what I love about God, if you walk with him long enough, you'll begin to learn this. While we're working out our own issues, our own lusts, our own temptations, we're working on our faith. What I love about God, God will often hide you. He'll never put your failure on display. He'll hide you. Moses, chosen by God to be a deliverer, kills an Egyptian. God what? Covers him. 40 years. Takes him out of the spotlight. Paul sees Christ on the road to Damascus. Has a conversion. God knows everybody is, because Paul was trying to kill all the Christians get ready to kill Paul. But for what? For 3 years, God did what? Hide him. Covered him. Mm-mm. You go here. You go down in the desert. No more temples, no more synagogues, because the environment's not right for you, nor are you ready for that environment yet. Stay here. No one else is here. Just covering you, getting you ready. You follow what I'm saying? But when the time is right, God brings you forward. He puts you on the spotlight, not so much that you can get the glory, but so that he gets the glory, because now he puts your victory on public display. Not our failures. While we were working on our faith, he covered us. While we just had a little shield, he kept us in the background. Work it out back here. But when the time is right, he brings us to the forefront. Not so that we get the glory, so that Christ would get the glory as he empowers us to have victory over the enemy by nothing more than simple faith. A lot of times we're not able to go to the next level in Christ because our faith is not there yet. But he doesn't penalize us. He just holds us back. You're not ready there. You don't have the faith for this kind of fight. I was reading in my own devotion, I was reading about Deborah. The mother in Israel, and how she was with one of the judges, Japheth, or I can't remember his name, but it came time for battle, and he said to her, I'll only go to battle if you go with me. All he was saying is, I don't have the faith for this fight. And if I have to go it alone, I won't go. God was just as much his God as he was her God. But he just didn't have the faith enough for that level of fight. He was already a king. He was already a judge. He was already a warrior. He could fight. He just couldn't fight that level yet. Do you follow what I'm saying? But Deborah, who was seasoned in the word of God, was ready, and she could fight it. You follow what I'm saying? She had the faith required for that level of fighting in the spirit. You follow what I'm saying? And so he drew his faith by saying, well, if you go with me, then I'll go. You follow? So one, he didn't have enough faith. And number two, the other problem that held him up, he had faith in the wrong God. His faith was in her, when his real faith should have been in her God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Which would have caused him to realize, well, if he can fight for you, then he can. And the damning thing, what if you recall that story or read up on it, she tells him, said, okay, that's what you need to go. He said, I'll go, but because I'm going, the victory won't be yours. If you read the story, she said, I'll go, but they won't speak your name as the victor. Because whoever the enemy was, he didn't kill him. Anytime these guys fought, they would always save the king and let the other king kill him. So it would be like, David has killed. You know what I mean? That's how the thing would normally go. But if you read this story, the king ran away and a woman killed him in a tent as he slept. You know what I mean? But the proper way would have been for him to, he was God's judge, appointed rule over Israel. But because he lacked the faith, because he didn't have the shield of faith necessary for that level of warfare, right? God still brings about a victory, but someone else got him. Someone not a judge. She didn't even go out to battle. Stayed back in it. You see what I'm saying? And so that's when we're not up on the front line, when we're not on public display, we need to be working up our faith. We need to be building ourselves up in the Word of God, because what? A fight is what? Coming. Right? A fight is coming. It may not come today or next week, but a fight is coming, right? Because we're all fighting what? The good fight of faith. So warfare is coming. That's why the Bible says what? In times of peace, do what? And in times of war, make preparations for what? Right? Because it's coming. If it's peacetime now, war is coming. Trouble's coming. It's a part of the process. But if you build yourself up, you can be ready and understand that God wants to give you a public victory for His glory. But the only way that He does that is He has to hide you for a season so that you can build up your faith, so that you would be able to overthrow anything, any dart that the enemy wants to throw you in this world. God said, all you got to do is build up your faith and you'll overcome it. Right? Isn't this what He's saying? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now we got to work at this. Here's something for all of us to work at. This is what I've seen in my experience. Maybe you've seen it in your experience. A lot of people trust in God, but very few believe in Jesus Christ. And again, this is how the enemy is bewitching this world. That's how he's doing it. And he gives them what the Bible writer calls a form of godliness. And they believe that they have some kind of relationship or connection with God because they do this. Or they interview and say, all praise be to God for blah, 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 blah. I don't discredit anything. But what has me concerned is, do they believe in Jesus Christ? Jesus stood in front of the people and said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, what? No man, you cannot bypass Christ to get to God. I don't care how much you say his name. I don't care how much you worship him. You cannot bypass the Son and get to the Father. It won't work. He said, behold, I am the door. I'm the entryway. I'm the point of access. Who is this who overcomes? John calls them overcomers. Who are the overcomers? Those that believe in the name of Jesus Christ. So many people love God. That's the issue. The challenge I have when dealing with Jews. I mean, they're knee deep in God. And they're deeper in God than you and I. I mean, they went to Sunday school. Their history is tied to God. But where they stumble is what they don't know what to do about Jesus Christ. And you try to spend time and say, yeah, you got all this history with God, but that does not give you access with God, because what God has provided for access is His Son. And if you don't believe in and confess in His Son, He says, depart from me, I know you not. Do you follow what I'm saying? The word overcomes in the original language conveys the idea that the believer has continual victory over the world. Overcomers. The root word is a verb, overcomes. Continual victory. I told you that one Friday night that when the armies of Israel will go out the banner, we talked about that verse. He raises a, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise a standard. And I spent that night telling you what a standard is. Standard is they would basically lift up a pole and take a parchment, and on it they would write all of the armies that God had defeated. That's what if you study that word, that's what a standard was. And again, if you watch those old movies about ancient history, you would see the army. You always had those guys riding the horn. They got the big poles. They would have the symbol of their king and kingdom, and behind it they have written in their language stuff. And whatever that stuff, the stuff was all the people they had defeated. And oftentimes, enemies, when looking at the standard, would fail the fight. They were like, oh my goodness, he done killed the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites. And before they would even get in the victory, they would quit. A lot of times you read in the Old Testament, you read in your old Bible, a lot of times you hear the enemy say this, let's lay down. They would run and say, we have to run because God fights for Israel. It's in there. They would lay down and turn around and flee, and they would say, hey, we got to get out of here. Why? Because God fights for Israel. Had Israel remained obedient, I'll just point this out, you may know it, but out of all that Israel won, when they came into the promised land, they never got all of what God had for them. When you study it out, they got a lot of land on both sides of the Jordan. Manasseh's inheritance was on the other side. But they never got God, listen to what God told Joshua. He said, anywhere you put your foot down, he said, I'll give it to you. All you have to do is just go and walk on it. God said, if I see your footprint, I'll change the lease and put your name on it. Literally, that was the promise he made to Joshua in fulfillment for what he told Abraham. You follow what I'm saying? And out of all that they got, it wasn't all that God had for them. He actually had more than what they laid hold of. And the only reason they pulled up and became short and didn't get all that God had, they fell victim to what? Fiery darts. Right? They almost never went in, right? Because of the report of the 10 spies. Right? It took two that what? Had the faith that said, no, Caleb was so crazy. Caleb said, we can go tonight. That's a man of faith. A man or woman of faith is always a man or woman of action. Why? Because they believe God can do it. If God can do it, why wait? That was his word. He said, we are well. He said, they are food for us. He didn't say, let's come back and put together a strategy. Let's figure out. Caleb said, we can go down there and get it tonight. Man of faith. Sat on the other side, you had 10 spies that didn't have the faith. They saw the same. Isn't it funny how two people can see the same thing but see it differently? One look at it and say, oh my God, they're putty in our hands. We can do whatever they want. They fit right. The other folks look at the same one and say, oh my God, they're giants. Their grapes would crush us if they fell off the bushel. They're looking at the, this is why we need the Word of God, because the Word of God helps us what? See correctly. The Word of God helps us to see it the way God sees it. Do you follow what I'm saying? When you don't have the Word of God, you can't see it the way God sees it. And when you can't see it the way God sees it, you can't have the level of faith in God to do it the way God wants to do it. You'll fight, but you need someone else to go with you.
Why do you need someone else? And God said, I'll go with you. God said, I'll stand for it. God said, I'll fight for you. You know what I mean? But we always need, why? Because we don't see it the way God sees it. Why? We're not in the Word of God. We're not having God affect our vision. And so we come in and sometimes we don't have the faith and we're unable to overcome. There's one other thing I want to read out of this. Who overcomes the world? And we spent time talking about the evil world system, but here it is. When this reference to the world, this is Satan's worldwide system of deception and wickedness. Get this, because I don't have my right Bible. Find it. It's in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah. Where he sees how small Satan is. What is that? Is it Isaiah 7? What is, do you guys know what I'm talking about? That's what, you got to find that. It, when you read it, the only thing it makes me think of is the Wizard of Oz. When they finally pull that curtain down and say, you got to be kidding me. This is who we scared of. This is who we were afraid of. Find it, because I can't make my next point without it. What is it? Is it Isaiah 7? Maybe Isaiah 14. Let's look at it. Find out which one you yell. Well, that's the fall of Lucifer. Here it is. There it is. That's it. The fall of Lucifer. 14:16. Turn there. Everybody turn there. It's going to help build up your shield. You guys have that? Isaiah. Chapter 14, let's just read verse 12 because it's just good stuff and what we want to succeed. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. Look what he says. You who weakened nations. That's important. You who weakened nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Right? And we all know what this is. He is saying, I want to be God's God. That's what he's saying. Yet, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. This is what I wanted right here. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you and say these words. Is this the man who made the earth tremble? Is this the guy who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness, destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Do you get the imagery? It's the Wizard of Oz all over again. They're saying when God reveals Satan, for who he really, again, public display. It's not going to be done in secret. It's going to be a public display. And before he binds him and casts him in the lake of fire to be consumed in hell, he's going to put him on the floor. Everybody see him. Everybody, you know, when I preach, I say, everybody look up here. God's going to say, everybody look over here. Here he is. And what he's saying through the prophet, he said, when you look at him, you're going to be aghast. he's going to be this tall. He's going to be hunched over. Meaning, he's going to look like the complete opposite of what you thought he was. And this is what I love about the Word of God. He lets us get a sneak peek. He said, if you could see that now, you'll be what? Less afraid of him. And the darts that he might be able to, and the reason why I'm pointing at this is because back over in John 1:4, and this was the shield of faith, again, the fiery darts are nothing more than temptation. And I said this 100 times, the only weapon he can use is deception. He has nothing else to fight. He's too small to fight any other way. Do you follow what I'm saying? The only way he can defeat us is by deception. He said, look at him. Here he is. This is what you were afraid of. Israel, this is why you left the Lord Jehovah. Todd, Jonathan, this is why you guys. Here he is. And because he is so diminutive, not just only in size and stature, but in power, the only way he can fight is through deception. Since I can't beat you, the only thing I can do is what? Trick you. Trick you into giving me the victory. I can't take it from you. Right? Jesus says what? I prayed for you. Anybody remember that? And anybody know what he prayed for when he prayed for us? That you're... Here we are putting up the shield. He didn't pray that you be blessed. He didn't pray that you get a big house, a new... He said, I prayed that your faith fail thee not. That's what I pray for. So that in the hour of your testing, your hour of temptation, when this little guy comes at you with his darts, his deceptions, tricks, his wiles, isn't that how we covered that one night? His wiles, his trick, his deception, he said, I need you to what? Paul said, I need you to stand still. Stand on what you know about God. And put faith in that. Even if you don't know the whole Bible, the little bit you know, stand on it and put your faith in it. He said, you do that, your shield will grow. The darts will come, you'll have the faith required to defend and deflect whatever the enemy sends your way. Because he cannot, you got to get this, he cannot overpower you. The only thing he can do is deceive you. The only thing he can do is to get you to come out from behind the shield of faith. As long as you stay behind the shield, nothing he can do. What do the kids say when you grow up? I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. You never knew that was good theology. It bounces off you. Why? Because you got a shield up in front of you. And it is the shield of faith. And it can knock down any and every lie that the enemy can send your way. And we stand on the truth, which is the Word of God. Our faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and dedication of one's life to him makes one an overcomer. Each and every day of their lives. So we just don't overcome on Sundays. We're overcomers on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we're overcomers because every day we're under what? Every day we're under attack. Every day he's throwing something at us. In our spirit. In our mind, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In our spirit,
in our flesh. He tried to take Job out by messing with his flesh. Right? Isn't that the record? Is that the witness? God said, don't kill him short of that. See what you can do. He attacked him in his body. He attacked him in his emotion through his relationship with his friends who turned on him. He attacked him through an intimate relationship through his wife. Right? Darts. Just coming at him. But if we stay behind the shield of faith, if we keep the gospel of peace on our feet, if we keep on a breast covering of righteousness. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's given us the blueprint for how we get the victory each and every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on revival week. If you come dressed for church, and remember how I started the whole series out, the analogies, we think dressed for church, we think about outer garments to put on to come in the house. Well, I was trying to get folks to understand, I used that phrase to say, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about inner garments we put on when we go what? Out of the house. Because for the believer, our work is where? In the world. Right? Was it not Christ who said what? The harvest is what? The harvest is plentiful. But I need laborers, and where do laborers work at? They work in the field. He said, I need some guys to go out in the field and work. Do you follow up? Because that's where the harvest is. He said, that's where I have a shortage. I don't need people coming. Everybody wanted to come in during feast time. Everybody wanted to come in during celebration time. But now that the feast is over, now that the celebration is over, who's willing to go out into the field where the harvest is ripe? But I need soldiers to go out in the field. But I need soldiers that are dressed what Paul would call in the whole armor. Because there's a fight. There's a war going on. And he wants to send us into the field. But what I love about God, he does not send us unprepared. If we're unprepared, it's what? It's our own fault. Because we've got the instruction manual here. The weapons of our warfare, they're available. They're right here around us. Do you follow them? All we have to do is what? Take them up. Paul spends more time dressing and undressing than any other author in the Word of God. You read just about every letter that Paul writes, Paul's saying, pick up, put on, take off, pull up. You know, it's just about all of his New Testament epistles. You know, put this on, take that off, lay aside, get that off, take that off. That's not going to help you in this race. Do you follow what I'm saying? Trying to help us to understand that we've got to be prepared for what we're getting into. My challenge today with a lot of new converts that come to Christ today, they don't believe there's a fight ahead. They believe if they can do just enough, just a little bit, that then they're on the road to glory. And that's not, you say, no, you actually got to pray more than that. You'd be surprised how many people, oh, Pastor, I prayed this week. Oh, okay, well, look, I'll take that. How long you pray? Well, I'm starting with 15 minutes. You know, as a pastor, I got to agree with it. That's good. Somewhere in the conversation, I got to say, you do realize you got to pray a whole lot more than 15. You're not going to make it with 15 minutes of prayer. You follow what I'm saying? Not when you're going out among wolves. You follow what I'm saying? Not when you're going out against an enemy who's been studying you, knows all of your weak points, all of your weak places, you follow what I'm saying, is looking at you like a roaring lion. 15 minutes ain't going to get it done. But it is a start, so you got to start somewhere. And that's why the Bible says, and you read that passage, he just says what? Everything, you just what? Add to it. Add to your faith virtue. You follow what I'm saying? You just read that passage, you just keep adding to it. You just keep it. What? And you, every day, you just what? You're building yourself up. Building yourself up, what? For the fight that's ahead. For the journey that's ahead, right?
building yourself up. All because what? God has promised us to be what? We're overcomers. There's nothing in this world that can take you or I out if we just trust in Jesus. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Right? Isn't that what he said? In this world, you'll have what? You'll have trouble. He said, don't worry about it. I've already overcome the world. So the trouble you're facing, he said, I've already overcome. The Bible says what? All that is in the world, right? He boiled it down. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's all it is. And the reason John makes that statement is because that's what Christ had revealed to him. He said, through the Spirit, he said, that's all that's in the world. It's only three things that can take you out. And all of them are played on by what? Deception. There's nothing wrong with desiring something or having an affinity for a thing. Nothing wrong in that. The problem becomes is when that desire becomes greater than your desire to honor God. Nothing wrong with eating. You got to eat to survive, right? It becomes gluttony. It becomes a sin when you go what? Too far. Do you follow what I'm saying? And now I'm more concerned with satisfying my belly than I am with satisfying God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so that's all that's in the world. But if we have our shield of faith built up, those darts, those temptations, the deceptions, the lies, they come at us. But what? We've got the shield up. Right? They bounce off the shield. And here we are standing. At the proper time, he's going to bring us forward, and he's going to put our victory on public display. So to put it on public display, because he wants the world to see that God gave you the victory. But he also wants to put it on public display because he can trust you to give him the praise. That's what their pride is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the pride of life. Can God trust us to give him the praise? That's how I did it. That's how I overcame. That's how we made it this far. God did it for us. That whole thing about Sunday, together we win. The real victory comes not in winning, but when you tell people how you won. This is how we did it. We prayed our way out of that. Don't, before you even buy the book or whatever, I'm going to tell you how we did it. We prayed our way out of it. We committed to one another and stuck in there. That's how we made it. God helped us. How do we pull it off? God opened the door. I always understand when people want to ask you for the secret and for the magic, they want something crazy so that they can do it. If you ever tell people the simple, honest truth, oftentimes they reject it. You know why they reject it? Because it's too simple. If you tell them you had to jump out of a plane and hang on the back of a helicopter, oh my God, they believe it like God said it himself. They will. But just to say, hey, it's just what I did was this. Boom, boom, boom. It's, oh, man, it can't be that. Nobody wants simple. That's why the word of God is overlooked. It's too simple. It's too plain. In this story, he does all the work and we get all the victory. Nobody believes that story. They want something else, something dramatic. But it's the simple truth hidden in the Word of God that builds up our shield of faith, that thwarts every dart, every wile of the enemy. The shield of faith blocks it, allowing us to grow, to develop,
till when our time and our season come, he'll bring you forth. Time is now. He'll bring you out. He'll bring you out because he can trust you to give him the praise for it. I read it, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to believe how Paul could go back to the very families he murdered and share the gospel. He literally went back. You understand? He was apostle to the Gentiles. He preached to the Jews because they were his family. And oftentimes when he came in the city, the synagogue gave him a platform to launch his ministry. But it always ended, what? With the Gentiles. He would tell you, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. Those same Gentiles were the very ones he had legal authority. How do you do that? How do you go back to people you hurt, families where you killed their father, families where you broke them up because of your Jewish zeal, and now preach to them the love of God? How do people believe you? It's got to be God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has to be God. And he gives us the example. He never takes the glory for himself. He said, if I wanted to, I could. Of a Pharisee, I am the chief. Of the zealot, I was the most zealous. The Bible said, Paul said, I count all of that as done. My education, my background, my influence, the wealth I had. It was never about that. It was about Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's what we all have. That's what we're all capable of doing. That's what we all are called to do. Not just go into the easy places. We need the armor because all of us have to go into some hard places we may not want to go, places we would prefer that God send someone else. But no, that's why he gave you the whole armor, dressed you, prepared you. For what? Such a time as this. The Lord bless you, and I thank you for your attention every Friday night. You're faithful to it. We're finished. We're right up on 9 o'clock. Any questions before we close out?